back to Plot Twist I Forgot. I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And we're here with our spoiler chat for the Thursday Murder Club, which was our December pick for the month. So if you have not read it yet, you kind of have to stop here and you can't listen until you read it.
I'm also going to say that if you want to see the movie without having it spoiled, watch that first too.
Oh, really? Because
I'm totally going to pull that into this conversation.
Oh, okay. Because I took it as like you liked the movie more. And then I don't know. Never mind. I don't know what I thought there.
Did you watch the movie? Maybe I shouldn't talk about it.
I have not watched the movie yet, but I totally don't mind, to be honest with you. So if you do want to go in there, because you watched first and then you read.
I did.
Okay. How did that, because I always feel like that's iffy. I did that with Gone Girl and I kind of regret it because.
Oh no. Yeah. You can't do that with Gone Girl.
I know. I trust me. I know that now, but it's a little too late for that. So now I'm like staunchly book first, then movie or show.
Yeah. This one, it worked out for because of the cast.
Yes. Cast. It looks so good.
I am shocked by my own statement. But if I didn't like the movie more, I liked it just as much.
Okay.
I think I liked it more.
Interesting. Okay, why?
I love Helen Mirren.
Okay. That's it.
I just feel like the comedy that you get in the book, because of the way the movie is cast, came across perfectly.
I could see that. Okay.
And you get a little bit more. I feel like at times the book had too much. There were too many characters. There were too many subplots.
Yes.
And they cut some of that out in the movie, but really focused on other things that, like, yes, they're obviously a part of the book and they're mentioned in their big storylines, but it just seemed like in the movie it played out better.
Okay.
And maybe that's because I was doing audio and I wasn't focused or whatever. I really liked. And Richard Osman is a television writer.
Yeah.
He was in television before he did books, so I feel like maybe that's part of it. Like, he could see it being very cinematic, and it played out really well. I love the book, and I would continue the series, but the casting was so perfect.
I could see that. I didn't realize Helen Mirren was in it until you said something, and I was like, ooh, okay. Because I kind of, like, I always knew I wanted to read this, so when I heard the movie news, I was like, I'm going to wait. I want to read it first, so we'll see. Now that we've read it, I'm definitely going
She's
to.
She's the perfect Elizabeth.
When I was listening to it, I was like, who would she be? And I was like, it has to be Elizabeth. There's no shot she's Joyce at all. Like, it can't be Joyce.
I don't know the woman who plays Joyce, but she also does just, like, a perfect. It's so well cast.
So the synopsis for the Thursday Murder Club, in case you are just trying to, you know, be crazy and join us and you haven't read it. In a peaceful retirement village, four unlikely friends meet up once a week to investigate unsolved murders. But when a brutal killing takes place on their very doorstep, the Thursday Murder Club find themselves in the middle of their very first live case. Elizabeth, Joyce, Ibrahim, and Ron might be pushing 80, but they still have a few tricks up their sleeves. Can our unorthodox but brilliant gang catch the killer before it's too late? It was good. I didn't know the synopsis going in. I just read it and, you know, knew that I would want to because it's a cozy mystery and ensemble cast. And I was like, done. This is it.
It's really fun. And it's so funny. Like, laugh out loud funny.
It is. It is really funny, especially just with those, you know, there's that scene where Joyce is explaining what Tinder is. And she was like, I don't know, this seems really sad here. And I don't know if you swipe left or right.
It seems like when you put up lost pictures of cats on telephone poles.
Yes. That's
what she compared dating apps to. And I was just like, first of all, scathing.
Yes, but very truthful. Where's the lie? It is mm-hmm. the same. What did you, because you watched the movie first, did it change how you saw the book? Like, did you have set expectations maybe that you wouldn't have had you not watched it?
I don't think so. I mean, having watched it first, I knew it was going to be funny. And obviously, like, I knew what was going to happen, but there were things that weren't included. So there were still surprises, and they're obviously still different. It does follow the story pretty closely, which I always like, but I don't think it really changed my expectations of the book at all.
I would be curious to find out too, because you have Joyce, who's a retired nurse. Ibrahim is a retired therapist. Ron was a boxer and a very, you know,
no.
Wasn't he? He was a boxer.
Ron's son is a boxer. Ron was like a like a foreman for unions. Like he went out and like
Was he a foreman for union
battles? Yeah, that's why they call him Red Ron, because he would go out and like fight for union causes.
Yeah, I remember the Red Ron part. I don't remember them explicitly saying that. So, all right.
Yeah, I guess. That's why he, like, led that protest or whatever, because he's, like, in his job. That was, he led protests. It was basically his job. And then his son is a boxer.
Got it. And then Elizabeth, you don't know, but I'm 90% sure she's a spy. Or used to be government spy or something, because she's very well connected, will not talk about her past, and is just like always 10 steps ahead of everybody.
Always mentioning Russia.
Yes. Uh-huh. She always, you know, someone owes me a favor and she knows all these things, and it's like she's just
I know operatives in Cyprus, no big deal.
Yeah, she's just very. It was a really good cast, and it all starts off with Elizabeth. She gets roped into, Joyce gets roped in when Elizabeth is asking her, like, hey, how soon would this person die if they were stabbed this way? And then all of a sudden, she's now in the Thursday Murder Club with those four individuals solving cold cases, which sounds like my dream.
I'm choosing my retirement home based on if they have a cold case files club.
Well, how would you do it? Because what this one, they didn't update the itinerary or the schedule, so it's like Japanese
orchestra or Japanese opera.
I was gonna say, I thought it had something to do with opera.
Yeah, Japanese opera, like a discussion or whatever. Yes. And that's what they put on the board every Thursday, so nobody shows up.
Nobody would do it, and they were able to get the cases because Elizabeth founded it with Penny, but Penny is unfortunately deep in dementia and is no longer part of it, but they still have her case files, which is how it all starts until someone is murdered for real that they know.
Yes.
Which was Tony. I don't even remember what his last name was.
Curran?
Tony Curran, that's right.
Yeah.
Who was a builder of the retirement home that they're in, but he had a very, very sordid past with organized crime. And so the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, again, nosy old ladies. Because, like, Ron and Ibrahim are there, but they're not the nosy ones. They just, like, go along with what Elizabeth is doing. Because they're, you know, all friends and whatnot. And it's funny how they, like, draw themselves into it. Like, Ian Bentham is the owner of the retirement home where they live. And he comes and says, you know, I'm digging up this cemetery to put in another home.
Yeah.
But I have to have a community meeting or whatever for you to air your objections. And then everyone's obviously upset about this cemetery being dug up. And they all say no. And Ian's like, that's great. The lawyers and I, however, are going to do it. And then when he's leaving, Joyce and Ron and Ron's son, Jason, see Ian and Tony fighting.
Yeah.
And Ian earlier in the book is like, well, when I tell Tony I'm gonna fire him and I'm gonna hire Bob Dan to do the work, he's probably gonna kill me.
Yes.
So you're set up to believe that, like, Ian is the one who's gonna have the problems, and then you find out pretty quickly that Tony is the one who gets murdered.
Yeah, he does. I know you're someone who always is like, I'm gonna figure out who did it. When you were watching, did you call it who it was?
Not until, like, the end.
Okay.
And not everything.
Yeah, because like there's a lot going on. There's so many plot lines in this. It's kind of crazy. And I think that's what threw me and why I got confused when I was texting you at the end. Because then it got tied back to the initial case that they were asking Joyce about. And I'm like, I don't understand where we got here to.
I do feel like in the book, they open with, could you die from this knife wound? Like, what do you think it was made from? Or could she have survived?
What was the timing? Whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. They mention it, but in the movie, I don't know if it's because it's visual or whatever, but you remember that a lot more than you do in the book.
Oh, yeah. I did not remember it at all. And I was like, why are we talking about this?
Because there's, like, a whole clip where they discuss that murder, where they like, bring up the knife wound, and then at the end of the book, they bring it up. And I feel like in the book, there's not, like, enough of a callback for it to be like, oh, wow, what a great mystery we've had this whole time.
Yeah.
or maybe I just missed it because I was doing audio or something, I don't know. But in the movie, like, they have a whole Thursday Murder Club meeting about that case at the beginning, and then it's brought back up at the end. But you just, you know a lot more about it. You know a lot more about Penny in the movie.
Oh, good. I, like, was kind of hoping so.
Yeah, like, Penny is brought up, and they're like, well, she was in the book, you know. You know that she was a detective. You know that she's comatose or whatever. But in the movie, again, maybe it's because it's visual, but you see Helen Mirren or Elizabeth talking to Penny a lot more.
Okay.
And I just feel like she's a little bit more laced into the story.
Well, she kind of should have been, I think, a little bit more in the book, just with where it goes and what happens with certain things that are revealed, because, you know, Tony Kern isn't the only one murdered later in the book, so is Ian Bentham, which comes right into play with Penny's storyline. And it was just like, okay, she's there, and you have Donna, who wants to, like, make her proud because she's also an investigator and wants to solve murders as well. And it was just like, okay, it would be cool, like, we bring her up a lot. She's the reason there's a Thursday Murder Club, and the only right reason she's talked about is because of, you know, things that we'll discuss later. So it was kind of like, okay, that would have been more fun not yeah to do that.
Yeah, I don't know that that, like, scene played out as well in the book to where it was as memorable. But again, maybe I wasn't listening hard enough.
How dare you? Maybe I know. Maybe you weren't. Maybe maybe you weren't. But it kind of, there's, I feel like there was just so many plot lines. Like, it was overall really fun, but then I think when you discover who killed Tony Curran, it was kind of just a footnote, and it was like, yeah, okay, so this person did it anyway, so here's what, you know, we're going to meet next week. And I'm like, what? Yeah.
So because of that, again, I'm going back to the movie, there's a whole plot line. So Bernard?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
He's not in the movie at all. There's no Bernard.
You didn't really need him
no
in the book,
that was just, like, an addition. Right. It was just an additional, like, touching storyline for some heart or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the movie, there is more of a backstory for Bob Dan. So it's not just, like, at the end, you know, here's this.
Yeah.
They do, I guess I won't tell you what they do, so you can be surprised. But there is more explanation. It's not as just, like, surprise.
Yeah, that's the only thing that kind of sucks. It's because you have, like, different threads, right? Because when Tony is found, there's a photo of him with Jason, who's Ron's son, and then what's the other guy's name?
Bobby Tanner.
Him, yes. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe it's this, because they were all involved in the same kind of, like, drug ring, organized crime situation. So you're led that way, and then, you know, they're talking to Ian Bentham if he did it and everything. And it was just kind of like, then you find out who did, and it was like, okay, well, we didn't have that information. How are we supposed to guess it was this person? Because they're, like, not there
right
a lot.
The only time that there is the clue that the ending is when Jason, there's, like, a POV from him, and he's like, oh, well, that night it was me, Tony Curran, Turkish Gianni, Bobby Tanner, and in between all those names, he says Bob Dan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, see, if you had done that, yeah, that would have been.
But that, it was just that one little mention. He's yeah not in that storyline at all, besides Jason being like, maybe I should call Bobby or Bob Dan or whatever. I don't really remember where it drops. And I was like, is that really the only clue?
Yeah, there was none.
And it really is the only clue until the end, where he's, like, explaining it to poor Steven.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And it would be cool. Do you get more about Steven in the movie, or no? Is he still kind of just in the background?
He is kind of just in the background, but there's, you know, longer clips of, like, him playing chess. It's the exact same scenes.
Okay.
But it does feel like he's more present, because you're actually, I feel like the movie follows Elizabeth more than it follows Joyce. Because in the book, it's Joyce's diary entries.
Yeah.
In the movie, it's kind of, you're more following Elizabeth. So you see her going home to Stephen a little bit more, and you do see her, like, drugging him and,
yeah,
you know, spending time with him and whatnot. But her friends know in the movie, where in the book, I don't think anyone knows that he has Alzheimer's.
No, she made it sound very secretive that, like, she's not usually even out with him either. Like, he's usually just in their apartment, except at, like, the protest where Ian Ventham is murdered. He's there, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And no one knows about anything about him. He's kind of just there until he gets the killer to confess randomly. And I'm just, what is this?
I don't know. I'm going to give it to Steven because he's good at chess. And he's just like, you killed him, didn't you?
Yeah.
I believe you. I believe Steven did that with Alzheimer's.
Well, I mean, I could see that. Definitely. that sounded so sarcastic, but I actually meant that. Did you have a favorite character in the ensemble cast? I'm assuming Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, Elizabeth is probably my favorite just because she is, like, the most interesting. But I also love Joyce, who is just this, like, sweet little old lady who is trying to, like, reconnect after her husband died. And then puts a bunch of vodka in a cake.
Oh my god, when she tells the inspectors that, she's like, you might not want to drive because I put a lot of vodka in that cake.
Like, I love her.
Okay, I feel like that would get cooked out, but...
It probably would.
Anyway.
Or maybe, because you can, like, soak... This isn't a baking podcast. Anyway.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, this one, I don't know. It was just, like, a fun... I think it's, like, one of those ones where it's just, like, you're just kind of in it, and then you figure out what happens when they tell you. At least that's how it was for me. I didn't really call anything because I feel like everything, of course, very immediately was just like, no, it's not this person. And, you know, it can't be this person. It, like, they eliminated so much through 8 different storylines.
Did you think there were maybe too many red herrings in the book?
A little bit, yeah.
Right. You have Jason might be the murderer.
Yes.
You have, they suspected Bernard for a time.
Uh-huh.
And there's Father Mackey, I think his name is.
Yeah.
That was a suspect. And you get, like, 2 full storylines from Father Mackey and Bernard that, like, I get they were important to the story because they were the red herrings.
Yeah.
But it felt unnecessary. Like, you could have just plucked that out and I don't think it would have affected the story at all, and it doesn't because neither of them are in the movie.
Oh, really? I was gonna say, like, I could definitely see, like, taking Bernard's story out because that one didn't really add much at all, except, like, oh, maybe him and Joyce will be together, like, maybe that's what this is leading to, you know, they kind of have that bond, but it didn't really drive, at least, you know, we're solving 2 murders, Tony Curran's and Ian Ventham's. And we don't really need that. And I mean, I don't know, Father Mackey was just there because they don't want to dig up the... Because also, too, it's a graveyard for nuns. Like, the whole area where this retirement home is, at least in the book, used to be a convent. And that was where the nuns all were laid to rest. So then people are like, why would you... You know, it's not good to dig up a graveyard anyways, but now you have this. And also, too, the added part of the body being found in the grave by Bob Dan, where you have Tony Curran's being, you know, Tony Curran's murdered. They kind of think that it's Ian Ventham because when he died, he would got like, what was it? Like 3 million 12 or 12 million.
8 million pounds.
So he got a ton of money and they think it's him. And then Ian Ventham is killed on the day that they're trying to go dig up the graveyard, and people are protesting, and Bob Dan is starting to dig up a grave because he kind of just sneaks around all of the commotion and finds a body, which wouldn't be surprising if it was actually in a casket, not outside of the casket, and looked not as old as all the other bones. So now you have 3 mysteries, which is who's the body, what happened, who killed Ian Ventham, and who killed Tony Curran. And 2 are related. 1 is not.
That's true.
Which, again, comes into my confusion. I did like the part, though, where... because you... So you have... is Donna still in the movie?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Donna is more of a factor than Chris. They kind of make Chris into, like, a bumbling idiot.
Okay.
Instead of... Like, he is kind of a bumbling idiot in the book, but he's, like, very lovable. He's, like, not memorable at all in the movie.
Oh, interesting. I did really like Donna. I like that she had more of a presence. I mean, once Chris is involved, it's kind of like, okay, there's some focus there, but Donna is definitely, she was really good. Her dealing with it, and I had, obviously this is fiction, but there was a part of me that was just like, there is no way that, like, these old people would get away with what they're doing now. Like, no cops would put up with that. You would have been stopped so quickly. I'm glad you weren't, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. If you get, like, a young detective in her 20s and, like, you're this magnetic older woman that's funny.
Yeah.
And you know more. And they literally got her promoted. Like,
yes, that is very true. Because she comes in. I liked the part in the book where she is, like, pretending she got her bag stolen. And then she's with Joyce. And Joyce has no idea. Elizabeth was just like, go along with this. It's like a improv sketch where you just yes and your way through. And Elizabeth right. is now a nun who got her purse stolen, but really just wants information from Donna and gets Donna promoted.
So hard at the end of that, like, sequence when, like, they leave the room and it's just Joyce and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is like, a nun?
Yes.
That's much more fun than what I was going to
yeah,
do.
She was like, I was just gonna, you know, pull out a traditional card of, you know, this other thing happening, but a nun is really good. That was, I
That's
liked
much
their
more
friendship.
Fun.
Which I hope,
yeah.
I am curious to see the series because I would like to see all of their friendships kind of develop more. I don't know that we got yeah. as much of that because it's just Joyce recounting through right. her diary, which obviously then turns into full-on scenes, but I don't know that it would have been more fun to have. And maybe it's the perspective shift. Like, maybe if this was Elizabeth's point of view, the book would have felt a lot different.
Yeah. It does, like, you get that they're friends, but they don't seem super close
no.
in the book, but they do seem a lot closer in the movie. So I think there are 5 books out now.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I think like 5 or 6. There's a lot out right now. And I hope that I really want to know. I feel like it feels like I don't like this book. I did like the book. I think there's just, sometimes with mysteries, it can be kind of hard when you have this much layering. Because then it's like, yeah. okay, what really matters? What doesn't matter? And how many red herrings can we actually have in a book
yeah.
before we actually find out who did what and everything?
No, I
you
agree.
Know?
I really enjoyed the book, mostly from, like, I loved the characters or whatever, but there were too many subplots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have cut at least one of those out to you know, kind of sharpen it a bit.
I think, again, though, I mean, you're right. I think it could have been Bernard, which they did, which his story was just they thought he did it because he would always sit by on this bench that overlooked the Eternal Graveyard, basically. And they're like, well, he must have done it because, you know, he sat there with his wife and his wife passed. And so maybe he killed Ian Ventham because Ian Ventham was also injected with fentanyl. So people are trying to look at, like, okay, who would know how to.
Right. Who has access to fentanyl?
Yeah. And
like,
who would know
how to inject, I don't know, intramuscular. I can't remember what the
yeah.
thing was, but.
And so they think it's him, but really his quote unquote reason or like sin or the reason he does what he does is because he didn't spread his wife's ashes in the water and he kept her
yeah,
with him.
In the place where she, you know, where his daughter thought she was going.
Which I was like, I mean, I get it. Like, that does suck and I've not in that situation, but I don't know. I was like, this is really, this is why we're upset.
Yeah. I don't know. It was one of those things where I was like, talk to your daughter.
Yes, exactly. Like, maybe that's what it was. Where, like, if there was a healthy conversation of, like, here's why. Because, again, people act in really weird ways when they're grieving. So I don't think anyone could be mad at you for what you did because it didn't harm anybody, you know?
Right.
But, like, you could have done that. And then Father Mackey's was just sad. It didn't really add,
it was
push
really
the story
sad.
Along in terms of who did it at all.
Right. And the only reason he was involved was because of the, like, the digging up of the graveyard aspect. Like,
yes.
They, both of those characters really only were focusing on, like, the Ian Ventham murder.
Yeah.
And it was both like, well, which one of them has more of a reason to not have the cemetery dug up?
Yeah.
And it just ended up being really sad stories, both of them.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it really was. I did think, yeah, I think it was a fun twist of fate that Joyce's daughter buys the retirement home. Like, that's a funny way to show your parents you love them, is just buying the facilities
right.
that they're in now. Like, here you go.
Right. I mean, it's her job.
Yeah.
But it is really cute. And I do love when because you don't get the daughter being upset that Joyce is moving into the retirement
right.
home
mm-hmm.
in this book. In the movie, she drops her off and they're like in an argument when she drops her off because she is afraid that, you know, she's just going there to die or whatever.
Yeah.
But the same message is sent at the end. Like, I was afraid you were coming here to die, but you're actually more alive here than you would be anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I want you to like stay here comfortably. So I bought it or whatever.
That's so cute. And I think that's what I liked about the book, though, too, was just like you get to see, because I think like we all kind of, or maybe there is like this idea that, oh, once you hit that age, like it is all downhill from there. Like you can't have fun. You can't like live a fun life or anything. And here you are. They're solving murders. They're making all these new friends. There's all these, you know, random activities that it just feels like you're playing around and just doing whatever. So it is kind of
fun. There are llamas.
Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot about the llamas. I liked that commentary. Or Chris was just like, why are there so many llamas here?
It just got out of hand. That's the explanation. Correct. And that's my favorite thing. Like, we got two for fun and then it just got out of hand.
Like, that is the most... us explanation. You're like, oh no, it just really got out of control.
It slipped right out of our hands and now we have 15 llamas
and no one does anything about it either. Like, they're mentioned twice. It's a lot and they're just like, okay, anyways,
yeah,
let's just go back on to solving the murders.
Another backstory anyway. So were you surprised by like the Penny John aspect of it all?
Like, looking back on it, no. Like, once you get into the explanation makes sense. I could see that, but I never suspected them at all of anything because they are such, in a way, footnotes in the story where you have very limited interactions. It's only when Elizabeth is sitting with Penny, you know, maybe Penny is brought up because they're talking about, oh, one time Penny did this, and then John was even more just a ghost. He was just there in the reading background. His book. Yeah, so...
or not reading his book.
When that all came up, I was like, okay, I am so confused because... and I don't know if... because the way that he also wrote perspectives, I feel like sometimes he would switch between whose point of view it was. And for the most part, it was very fluid. You could figure out who's talking or whose mind you're in, and then you would switch. But I think what threw me off is like I don't think he was talked about enough for me to be like, okay, wait, you are her husband, right? Like, first of all, you're her husband, because there's also a comment that you don't visit her, but then it's already established that you're there from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. So I don't know why that comment was made. That really threw me off for some reason.
I missed that comment entirely.
Yeah, so then I don't know if maybe that was supposed to be another character's POV, but it was just like, he's always visiting his wife. Like, why is this new? Is he there later one night? Like, I'm so confused. But it would have been, I don't know, I think the story would have been cool if Penny wasn't. It would be cool if Penny wasn't, you know, bedridden at the end stages of her life with dementia. I think it could have been I get it, but it would have been cool to have more of her and her backstory maybe a little bit more in the book. Because it's just like, again, in the book, the case, because it all comes down to they're visiting Penny and John and, you know, they're like, okay, John, we know you killed Ian Ventham, so tell us what's going on. And he talks about how he was a vet and then he just randomly killed a man because he was...
yeah, he put him out of his misery.
I was like, I was so confused during this admission and they're like, would not have done this if it wasn't for love. And so... I think that whole part, I was just, I don't know, same with audio, I don't know if I drifted off while I was driving and, like, listening to it, but, like, there was just something about it that didn't click at first for me until I kept going. And I was
I didn't bring up that case enough for it to make sense, like, for the reason to make sense. And then, like... they kind of do it at the end where Elizabeth is like, it was weird to me that Penny never brought this case out when I found it or whatever. Mm-hmm. That should have been at the beginning.
Yes, that would have been cool. And also, I feel... I totally lost my train of thought.
I feel. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I feel. It was also... okay, no. I feel like there were too many coincidences. Like, okay, you... and it wasn't a coincidental because John moved Penny in to that place specifically so he could watch over what she had done. That wouldn't even make sense.
Because he didn't know.
He didn't know and tell them, but I thought that was also brought up. That's why he was, why they were there, like, because he recommended moving in.
She picked it.
Did she pick it? Okay, that would make more sense. But that would make more sense. It's just like, again, how many red herrings and coincidences can you have in this whole story?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's just like a few too many spots where.
Yes, a little bit. But so you have that cold case where you find out that, you know, this woman was murdered more than likely by her boyfriend, but the boyfriend just went off the grid and like got away with it. And then you find out that no, Penny killed him and mm-hmm. buried his body and never told Steven until she had like a very lucid moment through her dementia. And she just brought it up, not realizing that it was a secret that she had literally never told anybody.
Right. That it was at all. There's like a whole thing where she's telling John is her husband.
Yeah.
Where she's telling him like, oh, remember when I took that bribe or whatever? And like, it seems she's having a hard time differentiating between like really bad things and like only kind of bad things.
Yes.
Like I stayed out late drinking, I killed a man.
Yes, exactly. Like she doesn't know anything, you know, right. There's no context there, which I could 100%. I mean, that part is very plausible to me. I could see that happening. It's probably happened so many times.
But you know what? If my husband is comatose with dementia, like he's not coming back, I would not kill a man to hide the body. I would be like, oops.
That's the other thing too, where it's like, okay, I mean, I get it. You know, you want to protect your loved one and also their reputation and legacy. You don't want it like dampened by that. But also too, like, what are the chances that they would actually look into it and know that it was Penny and, you know, have all these tests done? And then again, too, yeah. And also, I think that's my issue a little bit is just it was all so sad because then Penny dies right. at the end.
Yeah.
So does John. And John killed out, Ian like, Ventham.
You find right. You find out that John killed Ian Ventham and he was able to do it because he had the fentanyl. He was a vet in his previous life and he had the fentanyl, you know, in case he needed it because his wife is comatose or whatever.
Right.
And so they confront him with this and he confesses to murder or whatever. And they walk him back to his room after he hugs his wife goodbye and they both are dosed with fentanyl. So they both pass. It's so sad.
Yeah, that was the other thing where like, everything was just, and obviously like all crime novels are supposed to be sad, but there was just so much where it was like that happened and then Father Mackey's backstory was really, really sad.
So depressing.
And then like you have
Bernard, depressing.
Yes, uh-huh. And Tony, even Bob Dan's with Tony Curran, that was really sad where
Bob Dan, depressing.
Yeah, his best friend was murdered by Turkish Gianni, who was told to do it by Tony Curran, and Bob Dan killed both of them. And then at the end, they're just like, yeah, so Bob Dan did this thing to a gravestone, and he's going to come by later to fix my windows. And it's just
and
like, we didn't.
Love him. And sometimes we let murderers get away with it. And sometimes we'll report them, but only after I get my new windows.
Yeah. Like, okay, we're just, I mean,
Bob Dan's a good
you.
Guy. I know he's a murderer, but he's okay.
But you know what? He had a really good reason to do it. So it's, we're okay. Like, you can't tell me that Donna was okay with that. Like, she probably knows that you know who did it and found out. You can't keep this from her forever. So, like, what's up?
I bet they know? Do. I bet Bob Dan is the handyman in every book for the rest of the series. They never rat him out.
He has to be. He has to be. And that maybe that case went cold later on, you know? I don't know. But, yeah, I thought that was
well,
funny.
No, they pinned it on Turkish Gianni in the book because they found that money and whatnot. So in the book, they're like, oh, the cops think Turkish Gianni did it.
I feel like sometimes we read different books where I'm like, I did not pick up on that. They're just like, yeah, we don't know who did it.
Yeah, Chris is, like, pretty confident that Turkish Gianni did it, but he, like, escaped the country or whatever, because Chris gets that email
from
the dad saying, like, I'm looking for him, too, so if you find him, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris is like, yeah, whatever. Maybe the Turkish police will catch him one day, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah, I definitely did it. I guess so. Again, it's just, like, another red herring where, like, we took a trip to Cyprus, and it really didn't turn out to... anything. Like, we got
no
information.
Again, there is no Turkish Gianni in the movie. That character doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
They remove that plot line entirely. And it's all kind of focused on Bobby Tanner and his relationship with Bob Dan.
Oh, interesting. Because they don't really have a relationship in the book.
Right. They use this, a similar device. Because in the book, Bob Dan lures Turkish Gianni back with immigration. Like, stealing people into the country, right?
Uh-huh. No, I think it was, like, money. Like, he goes to, like, the dock and we'll give you money if you do this. So right. Maybe it was that. Right.
That's how he lures him back in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where the idea, in the movie, it's different, but it's kind of similar.
So would you continue? You're going to continue with the series?
I would, yeah. I mean, will it be anytime soon? Probably not, but I would definitely at least give the next book a try, simply because I love the characters so much, and I want to see them, like, weave a little bit more together and become more of, like, a united friend group, which, like, they are, but it's often, like, Ron and Ibrahim are over here doing this, and then yes. Joyce and Elizabeth are over here doing this, and I want them to do all those things together. Like, there's not a lot of scenes where all four of them are together. There's the car ride scene, which was hilarious.
Oh my god, I love that. He was like, I'm the only one that can drive because I have a actual driver's license and I and know how to use
SatNav. Elizabeth is like, I have a tank license, but okay.
I love that part where I think that's also the other reason I'd want to continue is just I want to know more about Elizabeth because I know she has to have such a cool story that we right. don't know yet, so.
Yeah.
The next one does sound good, though. It deals with, like, there's, like, a diamond heist or violent mobsters or something, but I do agree it would be fun to have. I think what it is, I know in our last episode you were talking about how, like, this kind of concept is a little bit more prevalent now, and maybe it's just because we're looking for it right now and we're seeing all these instances of it, but I kind of wonder if it has to do with, like, only murders in the building, because I know once that show made it big, everyone, like, they're like, this book is like only murders in the building and this book right. and literally I saw a book the other day that was like only murderers' wives in the building, and I was like, dude, that is literally so close to the show. But I wonder if that, like, dynamic is also what inspired it, because that is, there's nothing better than a really good group of people who have really good banter than doing these things together as a group. And yes, some might go off and some might, you know, you have to divide and conquer, but it would be more fun to have.
I think that show is where my love of elderly person and younger person come together to do shenanigans.
Too good. I love it. Have you kept up with the new season?
Absolutely not.
No. Yeah, I was gonna say me either, so I hope not, because I have not watched season 5 yet.
I don't even think I watched season 4. I'm not.
Oh, okay. Season 4 was good.
I think I got trapped in season 3. I think it got a little, like...
Season 3 was with Paul Rudd, right?
I don't know.
Because that one was... I think it was, and that one was meh. I unfortunately did not love that season, but season 4 was really good. That was a really good one.
Yeah, I need to get back into it, because I remember, like, I hadn't watched any of it, and people kept talking about it, and I was like... Home alone for 2 full days, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give this show a try, and then like 48 hours later with my comforter over my head still staring at the TV, I was like, this is it.
And it's so perfect because they're like 30 minute episodes, maybe a little bit longer. They're very short, quick, very funny, and like, how do you not like Steve Martin and Martin Short together? There's perfect dynamic. The banter is so funny.
And Selena Gomez, like, fits in with them so well in a way that I didn't expect.
Uh-huh. It was...
I'd love to see the bloopers from that show.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine how funny that is.
Right.
It has to be so good. Now I kind of want to watch it again.
I know. Now I'm like, maybe this will break me from my Grey's Anatomy spiral. I can go back to a show that I want to watch.
And, like, I know, I have such a hard time. I was just talking to my friend about that. Like, if I don't binge a show, it takes me forever to finish it. Because I'm just, like, it's, like, that hyperfixation in that moment. And then I need to be, like, a reason to go back to it again.
I really just enjoy, like, I'll turn this on while I'm cleaning. And then 8 hours later, I'm still watching it. Uh-huh. That's what I want to do.
Exactly. What would you say? So, any last thoughts on... The Thursday Murder Club?
Not really. I don't know. I think I like humor a lot, and it turns out I really like the concept of, like, elderly people solving murders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that this is a genre that we're like exploring more as a society, and yes. I want to see more of it in like a spin-off thing. It can't always be a retirement home, right? You have to like have a different angle eventually. So I'm interested to see like if we can evolve this genre into something else, or if it's just going to be like, here's another iteration of retirement home living.
I feel like we're probably going to get a lot of that. It would be fun to see the genre switch. Like, it would be cool to get more horror aspects of that. Like, obviously yeah. we have the one, but it would be cool for it to include a little more. But I do agree there has to be even like retirement communities, like a 55 plus neighborhood. Like, it doesn't have right. to be a retirement facility, because then you could have like the whole neighbor dynamic as well, and you know, a yeah. little bit other scenarios happening.
Is elderly horror the new cannibalism? Because the last like 2 years it's been like cannibalism.
It really has been a good for her women eating men's faces off. I don't know. I'm curious. I don't think so. I think it's still going to be more AI. There's a lot of yeah. robot AI surveillance. I mean, you're talking about Exiles. Monica Kim's new book has to do with surveillance. Yeah. I heard Paul Tremblay's is AI as well. So I think that's going to be a little bit more prevalent.
I'm ready for that to go away. I don't like AI horror.
Oh my, yeah. It was like, I honestly,
it's too real.
No, you know? So honestly, I really recommend, I know you're reading Exiles, I really recommend that you read William, because what he did there was very scary, but also like a really cool concept I didn't think of when it comes to AI. And he has a line verbatim where he was like, we always think about this when it comes to AI, we don't think about this other aspect of it. And that's kind of very scary when you think about it. And yeah. it's the way he did it was so cool. So I would recommend it, and if you're already team I hate AI, this will just make it more so that way.
AI scares me. I feel like I've talked about that a lot, but like Ray, sometimes our Google TV will like pause our show and start talking without us asking it to, and he'll yell at her, and I'm like, no, look, when bad. The robot overlords come, you're gonna be the first person she kills. You do nice
you
to the
yelled
TV.
At her. Yeah, exactly. You can't, they're all connected. I saw this reel where this comedian was talking, and he was like, why aren't you scared of AI? Because the guy who literally created it wants nothing to do with it. So, like, doesn't that mean something to you? That, like, no, thank you. I'm good. Uh-uh. Hard pass. Can't do it. I watched Terminator. I know it will happen.
I was a kid when I watched Terminator, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I know what happens.
No smart homes, nothing.
Right. I'm really nice to the Google machine that plays my songs when I'm cooking dinner, and I thank it for its assistance, you know.
Me too.
I'm gonna be a good, you know, dog
servant
when the robot overlords. I'm gonna be a good pet.
Yeah. That's the only way to survive. Be nice to AI when it finally takes over, but also don't use it if you can help it, please.
Yeah.
Yowza. Well, that was our December episode, and when we come back, I don't know, we have some potential bonus episodes in the works. We will see how those turn out. Are you okay over there?
The cat is she's gonna jump or she's not gonna jump. Okay. Sorry.
No, that's she just wants to be part of it. Wants to be part of the
she
experience.
Does. Do you want to be part of the experience?
So, no, she looks angry. Cutie. but we have some potential bonus episodes to wrap up and begin the new year. I have no idea what our January pick will be, so stay tuned if you want another year of utter nonsense.
Chaos.
Chaos, that's it. Chaos goblins.
Unplanned chaos. Yeah,
correct. And in the meantime, you can look in the show notes below to find our handle for the podcast, which we never post on, but you know, be cool if you looked at it.
In 2026, I'm gonna post so many pictures onto our Instagram that you're all gonna be shocked.
Yes, it's gonna be night and day difference, and we are still on. You can find our personal Bookstagram accounts below as well, and we will see you in 2026.
Goodbye.
Bye.